All right, cool. What are you doing this time?
Well, Gary, in thinking about the most random thing possible, I was looking into chaos, and most specifically, chaos theory.
Oh, Jurassic
Okay.
Park.
Yeah.
We're doing the Jurassic Park. Time for Trespasser, baby. I can read between the lines. It's
No.
finally come.
I still don't know. I don't know how to get it to run. However, this is this is more along the line of if you go back in time to prehistoric times, and step on a bug, things might change. I wish I hadn't killed that fish. That whole deal. So what I have is a special box where if you put something inside of it, it will send an object back in time. And we can just kind of see what will change in our current timelines, assuming our consciousnesses jump over in the timelines.
Cool. In the world of boxes, I gotta say, this sounds like a fun box.
It's a pretty good box. I
Like,
don't want to tell you how much it cost.
can we do it real quick? I mean, I want to stay on time for this, so we don't want to put everything in the intro, but I feel like this is a good opportunity to do a couple things real quick.
Okay.
One, in general, let's just think boxes. Because a lot of good things are boxes. Like refrigerators.
A kind of
Yeah,
box.
the old ice box. Like, that's very necessary. I
Yeah.
use mine literally every day. The game console. It's kind of like a box.
It's a box with chips inside. A
It
box of
comes as a
chips is
box.
a box
A
of
box of
chips.
chips is a box of chips inside
Yeah.
as well.
What kind? I
Unless
don't
it's a
know what kind
Pringle.
of. No, then it's a tube.
Yeah, and I don't
And
want to
it
think
and,
tube.
and tubes are of the devil. Tubes are
Yeah,
how
tubes are the enemy of the box. I think that
the majority of the tubes in a given city, full of shit.
here's the I originally said two things, but I'm gonna change it to three.
Okay.
Here's the surprise one. We were really Team Orb, and then the world caught up with us, and now Orb's like a meme, and there's that picture of like Trump humping the orb,
Right, right. Well,
humping is what I
he just
first
hugs
said.
and gropes so much. Yeah.
Yeah, he's a grope. From now on, boxes,
Okay.
cubes. I
Yeah.
think that's gonna be the duck feed stance, like cubes.
Friendship ended with boxes.
Yep.
Or
Now, yeah.
friendship ended with orbs. Now best friends with cubes.
Yeah, orbs are good. Orbs are fine, but
Yeah.
orbs are yesterday, and the orbs are too normy. Like, everyone's into orbs. Like, I think we need to move on to the boxes.
Yeah. No, I've always been a fan of things that are at 90-degree angles, right? Like anything like that. I love the perpendicularity, I believe.
Snake, game of snake,
Yep.
Tron.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
My brother was over here. He was helping me hang a whiteboard, and he looked
Talk
at
about a
he...
square.
That's me. No, he came over, and my office is literally all squares, and he pointed that out, because I've got these acoustic panels up, and I've got shelves that are all cube shelves like from IKEA. We hung up a roughly square whiteboard, and he said, "Even the round thing here is made of squares," pointing at my phantom mask, which is a roundish shape, but it is made up of squares.
I think this is where we've always been. We just didn't know it.
Yeah.
The third thing I want to say is, now that we so in the three-step process, appreciating boxes,
Embracing boxes.
embracing boxes, now let's rank the boxes. The third, the natural life cycle of the YouTube screamer. We've now hit the pupae phase, or the butterfly
Oh
phase
yes,
of
where
this.
it can spread its wings as a listicle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, the greatest box.
Pussy.
There we go. That's what I was looking for.
High five.
I high five. I don't watch Saturday Night Live every week, but there was a thing this week because John Mulaney was on,
Okay.
where he's like, and he puts in cue cards to try to fuck up Bill Hader,
Of course,
which I
yeah.
think is really funny. And during a fake game show, John Mulaney said to Bill Hader, he's like, do you even know the names of any of your friends' wives? And then Bill Hader, clearly reading from a cue card he didn't know, said, "Wives? The guys I run with don't have wives. I run with a problematic crew of dudes who call themselves the Squad." I lost it. It was very good. And just the delivery is very good too. Wives? The guys I run with don't have wives. Or like problematic crew of bachelors, and we call ourselves the Squad. It's very good. John Mulaney is a comedy
Oh,
genius.
of course, yeah.
He never milkshake ducked. So anyway, so I think that like pussy is the number one box. Boxes are good. Please continue with this box that sends things through time.
Yeah. Well, I found this in a crater left by a meteorite. So mm-hmm. I've got an LED light bulb right here. So let's just send this back and
okay.
Whoa, it sounds like a Polaroid camera flash going off. Weird. Gary,
I haven't spotted the change yet.
No. It appears that all that's changed is you're wearing an eye patch.
Oh.
Yeah.
Even notice that.
What happened to your eye?
Let me see. Let me lift up the old patch here.
Yeah.
Can you tell me? Because I can't look at my eye.
Whoa. There's like a DVD in there. It's like a Blu-ray.
Oh, that's big.
Yeah. You're going to have to get that surgically removed. Let me pull out this pen light.
Okay.
Yeah, no, it's beyond two souls. Sending this light bulb back, it led to a copy of Beyond Two Souls embedding itself in your skull.
I'm sure this has to do with something with the extremely boring game Beyond Two Souls. I don't know, because it's boring. And I did not get very far in it, because I think it is a boring, bad video game.
I played and beat this game.
I know you told me, and I'm not saying this to spill the tea or whatever, but mm-hmm. when it came out, I think that you texted me and said, this is the game that Quantum Dream has been trying to make their whole career or something.
They may have been trying to make it. Who knows if that is a worthwhile goal, but I think this probably in terms of play is the most robust of their games outside of, let's say, Omicron, which was also a boring game that I didn't like very much.
According to them, according to the cage, he says that this is their, yes, it still does QTEs, but this is a more action focused QTE for today's like action gamer.
Yeah, he's full of bullshit and always has been.
Yeah, he is the P.T. Barnum without charisma of video games.
Right.
I'm Gary Butterfield.
I'm Cole Ross.
And this is Abject Suffering, a podcast to listen to.
It's a podcast.
They're loaded up on your pano.
Yeah, yep. But delivering it in Og Vorbis. Og yep. Cubis. Cubis to Og.
Cubis to Og.
Yep.
I never asked for this.
And yeah, this is Beyond Two Souls. This is Quantic Dream's fourth game, I think. Something like that. Yeah, it is their second most recent.
Five.
And this is a demand episode. This is by Smith, who says, acting as a great follow-up to Fahrenheit, Beyond follows the trends by including random ghost attacks, choices that make no sense or have no outcome, and main characters that have about the same emotional complexity as a brick. I first played this when I was 10, and it still left me with a disappointed feeling.
Yeah. Yeah, that's I didn't get far enough in it to get to that stuff. And I guess like if we did one of these, you know, every 2 weeks or something, I would have watched a full Let's Play.
Yes.
To get to that stuff. I will say that the kind of weird muted acting that personifies the characters in Smith's statement, like, comes through kind of right from the start.
Yes.
Like, it is weirdly, both games we're recording about today feature real actors phoning it in fucking hard.
Mailing it in.
Yeah, like nobody is actually present for any of this.
Right.
Like, it just, you know, and it's funny reading about it. Like, I read about the production of this before, because this uses real actors.
Yeah.
That's been his thing.
Real
this game moving forward.
Real just fine actors, right? Like, Ellen Page is good, and Willem Dafoe is great. Yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah. Well, or even reverse.
Yeah.
Ellen Page can be great, and Willem Dafoe can be good. Like, yeah. they're both somewhere between good and great.
Yeah.
But so he uses those to like motion cap and capture them, so they are digital versions of themselves.
Yes.
Which is a practice he continued on into Detroit Become Human.
The dumbest title.
Which is a bad sentence.
Yeah.
like if that ever happened, we are fucked. just Detroit, you know, Detroit teams up with Supergiant Voice Man.
Yeah.
And Arctic Pope. And just the Extraordinary Ass Kickers to wreck shop across the world. They call themselves the Squad.
Like, like if Detroit actually became a person, you know, no shade on anybody who lives there, but like it'd be a person who every, let's say, 15 years would have to go to the government in order to, like, I don't know, like ask for money to have to get its hands back. Like, yeah, it would keep on losing its hands in financial incidents.
It'd be like a grand balloon, or like the gigantic person made of soccer players from the Don't Deny Your Heart hot shot video.
Yeah.
Just with Detroit. And like, I know that Detroit is not a monolith. Like, all of Detroit isn't a, you know, a Roger Moore, like, dark dream.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
But it is, you know, it's known for a thing.
Oh yeah.
You know, it's like, that is the, that's what we understand about Detroit.
Yeah.
As on Detroiter.
You know, and I haven't played that game. I think I'm waiting for it to hit $10 so I can play the first couple of hours.
Will is a surprisingly, like, kind of an apologist for it. Oh. Like, he didn't think it was very good, but he, like, overall, but he definitely had more fun with it than I was expecting.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I trust his opinion.
I like Clancy Brown.
What?
Clancy Brown.
Is that an actor in that game?
Yes.
Okay.
And an actor in his own right.
Oh, yeah, of course.
He plays the grizzled human racist detective, like in the kind of good cop racist cop.
Okay, yeah.
Kind of scenario that they set up in that game, like he's the racist one.
Yeah. Okay. Gotcha. So,
yeah.
Yeah. No.
And it seems like a racist cop, Clancy Brown, forward. You know.
Maybe. Huh. Yeah. But no, I want to check it out and see. But like, just the idea of naming your game Detroit. Or thinking anything about Detroit just really seems like somebody who has never been to America throwing a dart at a map.
Why? Or just like, it's just a name that's very evocative, but it seems inherently disrespectful.
Yeah,
and like, there's 1,000 articles about how it is. Like, it is an exceedingly problematic game. you know, it's like everyone thought it was going to be, and then it was.
Yeah.
Well, you know, like using the imagery of Martin Luther King and the civil rights movement.
Mm-hmm.
When you're like David Cage is not okay.
Well, I mean, I think all you need to know is that I only read articles about this, but I feel like that's all I need to do. But one of the major choices in the game is, do you free your sexy lady slave? People complained that they didn't want to do that. So they gave you DLC to get her back.
Yep. You can get your sexy lady slave back.
Right.
You know, yeah. And then like, and that's also one of those things where it's like, you know, when did you stop beating your wife? Because even just answering that, complaining about that thing, seeds ground of accepting a sexy lady slave.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's like, wait, you know, back up a second. Like, that's also not okay. This question should never have been asked.
It bends to the premise in a way. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ugh. Yeah.
So this is before, this is just when David Cage did really, really inept sci-fi before he figured out that he needed to like have a social justice angle.
Yeah. On his games. Like really bad sci-fi in a story that is like, get me Stephen King's non-union French equivalent.
Yeah. Give me Alan Wake.
Yeah. That is Alan Wake is the non-union Swedish equivalent, I believe.
Yeah.
but yeah, so the premise is that Ellen Page plays a little girl who is kind of linked to this entity that they insist is named Aiden.
Yeah.
Not Aiden.
I was having a hard time with Aiden. Her complaining about Aiden in the beginning, like, Aiden, I don't want to play with you. Like, I just feel like that was another thing that they should have ran it by somebody.
Yep.
It's like when they decided to call the military unit in Metal Gear Solid 5 the Diamond Dogs. And it's like, yes, that's a thing.
Right, yeah.
You know, like, that is a name. It clears the name hurdle.
It is, but not it doesn't just sound static. Cool. Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't sound cool. You know? Yeah, I did. And going into this, because I didn't know very much about it, I really thought Willem Dafoe was the ghost. And I was way, way more into that. Like, I was like, oh, it's going to be like a kind of a buddy, not like in that tone, but would have like Willem Dafoe and Ellen Page hanging out. And kind of like him sicking her Willem Dafoe on things, you know? And I was like pretty into that. Like, I was like, oh,
she's just walking around with a pocket Dafoe.
Personal Dafoe. You know, I was like, I was kind of into it. And then I found out it's some fuck named Aiden. And I'm like, this is the worst possible pig in a fucking poke.
Yep.
That I've ever seen.
Yeah, no. And Willem Dafoe is just Science Dad, who turns out to be the villain of the game because of fucking course.
He's clearly a villain. Like this, I'm surprised this came out before Stranger Things.
Oh yeah.
Like I was, that was one of the things I was thinking about when, like,
It's
you
ex
playing the
it's
beginning of this. It's like,
it's
wow,
exceedingly Stranger Things.
it's weird that it came out before Stranger Things, and still, I think that technically it is derivative of Stranger Things.
It
I don't think
is.
it counts
I
like the
mean,
Prima Nocta or whatever. Like, yeah.
it doesn't matter. It can retroactively be biting Steve's, but like. It is derivative of the same things that Stranger Things is derivative of, except much more ineptly,
Yeah.
and far more scattershot.
It's
So,
also like, I think that this is, for as many accolades as this got for visual kind of fidelity, I think this game is really poorly edited and directed.
oh, for
Like, there's
fuck's
some
sake,
really
yeah.
bad kinesthetics and stuff in this. Like, so I played about 17, 18 minutes of it because I was just like, I'm
How
not going
hard
to
to
get to
get?
anything crazy, you know? And I might, I might poke at it if I feel like it, but like the, so like early on when she's being interviewed by Knott Hawkins in the sheriff department, and she uses telekinesis to throw the coffee cup, like it hits with like no impact. It is a static shot from the side of the coffee cup hitting the wall. Like there's, I'm like, oh, this is the worst possible angle for this. It makes no impact. Like the sound is not loud when it happens. I was like, oh, that's horseshit. And then later when she's playing with her dolls, the direction in that scene is so fucking confusing. Like, just the blocking is really bad of that. And Pocket right now is leaning up and just gnawing on my arm. Like, he's not like trying to fight or using his claws. He's just biting over and over. What is this, man? Not now.
Maybe
Be
you're
cool.
tasty.
Be fucking
Gary,
cool.
did you stop to consider that maybe you're tasty?
I didn't know that. I mean, I haven't showered for like a day, so I could just
Okay.
have like a natural kind of sweat, sweaty funk or something that you can get.
Marinade. We call that
Yeah.
marinade.
Like Gatorade. He could be tasting my natural Gatorade.
Yeah. Ooh.
So, that's not like gross.
Yeah, no, and
Rather,
that go ahead.
nothing. I said it's rather piquant. Gross.
But like, so like you think, okay, yes, this is ineptly done. Remember, there are no constraints placed on the production of this, right? They had all the money in the world. Everything is digital. Like, you can put the camera wherever you want. You can make whatever happen visually. You can arrange everything. If you see bad blocking, if you see something that looks awkward or doesn't communicate clearly, well, guess what? That's just because David Cage wanted it to be a particular way,
Yeah,
and
and he
it
lacked
was bad.
imagination or skill to do those things. Like throwing a coffee cup against the wall is literally the most cliche kid telekinesis thing you could do. What if, like, again, with this crazy budget, what if, like, Pocket. Oh, what if the cop turns his back and when he turns back, like a wall of the police station is gone
Yeah, you can do
and just like in rubble, like silently. You
it.
know, what if anything, like what if he turns back and all the furniture is on the ceiling?
Yeah.
You know, something like there's just like a lot of things you could do to show this same kind of power without indulging in a really, really limply done cliche that has
Right.
been done a million times.
Yeah. Something being
You know?
cliche does not inherently make it bad. However, when you have enough of those stacked up in a row in something that already feels like it lacks editing or pacing, and we can talk about the structure of the game too, which is just a complete like Vaseline over the lens of just any cohesion that the story otherwise ought to have had. Each of those cliches just feels like it is just like a weird little signifier, right? Like, okay, we need to demonstrate that she's a psychic. What's the quickest way we can do it? Okay, there. Is that the most interesting thing we could do? Like, nobody stopped and said,
Ever.
okay, maybe our first idea isn't the one we should go with.
Yeah, or that if you're trying to reference, if you're trying to call back to things that have done this already, like you're trying to call back to the Dark Phoenix and like all these like little girl psychic telekinesis stories of yore or whatever, like just doing the exact same thing, like yes, it makes the audience immediately know the kind of semiotics of what you're going for, but you have to trust your audience a little bit more than that, you know, to be able to, and to also just not like you just signal things in different ways. Like there's like that Twitter thread that went around recently where somebody was like, calling Jordan Peele out because he wasn't using the proper genre signifiers for horror for This Is Us.
What?
Where he's like, or the Us, where he's like, yeah, like everyone knows that you use these colors in horror. Like it's always been that way. Mm. You know, these are the colors that he's using are like this and this. And it's like, yes, that is maybe like a YouTube 101. Like, you know, once you see it, you won't believe that every
Fuck
horror
that.
Movie.
I hate it yeah. so goddamn much. Plot
like
holes.
teaching nerds like a tiny amount of analysis.
Yeah.
And like just enough to be fucking insufferable was a mm-hmm. mistake.
Yeah.
And this is that.
Mm-hmm. No. The first time somebody says the word deconstruction in high school, they should yeah. be wheeled away to a special
you
school.
You get to go to a camp. You go to another high school. Right. You go to a dark high school. you get shipped off to night school, and it's not just about when it takes place.
Yeah.
Like, that's not the night part of it.
No, you get sent to one of those space prisons where they freeze you in a magnetic field.
Yes. Yep. It's time for negative zone.
Right.
It is just... it's not very good.
Yeah.
It's not good analysis. And to my mind, David Cage is one of those people because mm-hmm. he, you know, to him, it's like, oh, we're doing this sci-fi little girl story. We have to hit all the signifiers of that. It's going to be great.
Yeah.
You know, as opposed to, you know, again, like you said, like just thinking more than one step ahead of the immediate step in front of
yeah.
him.
Yeah. But I mean, because one of the main dangers of indulging in a cliche like that and showing something people might have seen 1,000 times before, if you don't do it damn well or show it in a different way, all it's going to do is make people remember the better time that was done.
Yeah.
How many times has there been a cat scare in a movie and you think, well, why don't I just fucking watch Aliens or listen to Abject yeah. Suffering and hear Pocket Attack Gary?
Yeah, like nobody was expecting him to just like sink his claw into my haunch. He did.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
It was truly like not cliche. Pocket just sunk his claw deeply into my haunch for no real reason.
Yep.
You know? Just because it's a little kitten, big world. And like, he's just frustrated by the fact that he can't affect change.
I feel you, buddy.
Yeah.
In a way, we're all Pocket.
His dreams exceed his real life.
Yeah.
So
when I was talking about that structure, out of the box, I don't know if they patched this into the PS3 version, but I had the PS4 version that I played for here. I sent you my PS3 copy, because I didn't buy it again. I got it on mm-hmm. I got it on PS Plus, just so people don't think I'm a maniac. Out of the box, by default, it presents in this out of chronological order kind of way. Mm-hmm. Which if it's done, you know, like jumping around to different stories, Pulp Fiction style, okay, fine. Here though, it is literally just saying huge portions of the story, are without context or are incredibly boring. So we're going to make this feel more interesting and more meaningful by jumping around in this fragmented way.
Okay.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound good.
No. So like, all right, it's not enough that we see her being tested to see if she can like, you know, remote view these cards in another room. Let's immediately cut away because that's boring and that's cliche. Let's jump to another cliche, which is now she's being used by the government to spy on, you know, people in Middle Eastistan or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All cliches as well.
Yes. Entirely up and down the line.
Yep. Yeah. All cliches.
Like the only scene in this that I think is good, and I was hoping that you would get to it, is also a cliche, but it is really fun from a play point of view, which is she is sent to a birthday party, you know, because obviously she lives in this really sheltered life in the lab. She is sent to this birthday party with all these kind of stereotypical high school mean girls and boys. You know, she doesn't fit in, and they eventually decide, oh, she's a witch. What happens with witches? They burn her with a cigarette, and then they lock her under the stairs. And then you're given the option to either leave early or use your spooky ghost powers to enact revenge on them. So it is literally just Carrie. Yeah, it's literally just Carrie. But like, it's a really fun use of the action mechanics in this. In a way that is not in service to just kind of gigantic gunfights, which is what it eventually becomes.
I did not get that far.
So you're like flying around and trying to like possess things that are nearby where the other kids are, and you know, changing the music around and you know, flinging plates and stuff. It's kind of neat, and it leans into something that actually is a little bit different about this compared to other earlier Quantic Dream games, specifically Fahrenheit or Heavy Rain, which is like you do have control over this entity who can zip around independent of the main character's body and interact with certain things.
It's like that difference, though. I was thinking about that difference and how that is a weird horseshit thing, because like in quantum dream games, mm-hmm. and or A Way Out, right?
Yeah.
Like we all talked about this, where like the genre is that you can walk around and brush your teeth,
right?
Like if your character clicks on the toothbrush, your character will brush their teeth, and you have to move the right analog stick back and forth to scrub the toothbrush across their teeth. Like,
yeah.
That is the gameplay innovation that David Cage has brought.
Right.
And I was thinking about that compared to this, and it's like, is it that meaningful if I can control the person who picks up a toothbrush, or if I can just control a toothbrush? You know, like, it's like, is that cool? You know, like, I can make somebody go out and turn on a stereo, or I can make a ghost, I can just turn on the stereo,
like,
using a ghost instead of Ellen Page. Like,
literally, it's just another interaction model. Like, it makes it into this first person free floating awkwardly controlling thing.
It just doesn't seem to make that big of a difference. Like, right. It's still the same kind of shallowness of like, if you see a guitar, you can pick up and play the guitar.
Mm-hmm.
It's a weird, I don't know if we made this comparison. I'd be curious if we did. I haven't listened to the Fahrenheit episode since I've never listened to it since we recorded it.
Mm-hmm.
But like, if we made the comparison about how that as a thing or an aspect of a game is awesome as salt, and these games are salt blocks.
Yeah.
Like in Duke Nukem 3D, it's awesome that you can walk up and wash your hands.
Yes.
You know, it's super cool that you can turn on the movie projector and stuff. But this is just a salt block. Like these games are just that. Like, what if you make a whole game that's just like a little virtual guy walking around brushing his teeth and getting cookies and, you know, washing their hands and stuff.
I'm now hyper aware of the cliches that I'm using to talk about this, but like it's a little bit like a Martian's attempt to be human.
Yeah.
Right. Where it's, you know, as a designer, you're looking to say, I want to make something that is at human scale. I want to make something that, you know, shows people even at their most quotidian and boring. Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which may be, you know, a goal. Right. However, instead of kind of looking at things like the grace that we extend to other people, the monotony of a daily job, things like that, you know, kind of like concepts that people feel deeply, what it is instead doing is going through the motions, where you have to literally make the motions of showering or cleaning up your shower to shower or clean up the shower. Like,
yeah.
It's just, I need to pretend to be human. I will put these bristles on my teeth. La, 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 la. Like that, like, well, the, like if, that, that's what it is. And it is treated as being like this incredibly significant thing when it's just not.
It's just not. Like we talked about this, I'm sure. But like there is this conflict with David Cage where he wants to tell stories like movies, but if you'll insist on showing things and doing things that you would never show in a movie because you would skip the activity and go to their meaning.
Yes.
Like if you need somebody to like brush their teeth in a montage to show that like they're in a day in day out scenario, you would never show every individual toothbrush and every individual chore. It'd be like the beginning of Hot Fuzz, or like when he's traveling Hot Fuzz and it cuts between all the shots of him traveling with the plant.
Yeah.
It's super overexposed. It would be a couple seconds over music that get across a mood.
What is
and David Cage never figured that out. Like he is too dumb. I think out of people and major people who do video game stuff, I think this guy is a fucking idiot. And like the Ken Levine school of fucking idiocy. Like what a moron. I don't know. Like I know, like I understand it's like not fashionable just to straight up call developers idiots. I think this guy is just like super not smart and doesn't understand art in a way that is really irresponsible to give him this much money.
Yeah.
You know, what an idiot. Like, we need to show that this person is just living their daily life. So we'll let them brush their teeth because we want to make an interactive film. Like, wait, God damn it. Have you seen a movie?
Yeah,
I know you have.
So, yeah, OK. Like, yeah. So what is it about game designers who want to be filmmakers where they don't understand montage theory?
What that does. It does so much. You know, like it's a joke when you do a montage, like in like Wet Hot American Summer, like doing a training montage or whatever is like a joke.
Right.
But montages once you actually think about what they are, they happen constantly.
Oh, I mean, it's one of the basic theories of modern filmmaking.
Yeah.
You know, anything beyond, like, anything after Birth of a Nation, like, just, you just have that, like, that is just the color. It is one of the main brush that you paint with.
Yeah. And just not, you know, it's exceedingly hard to do in a video game in an active way. Like, you do that in cutscenes and stuff if you have to have to do it. But it's one of the reasons why games and movies are just different.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it would suck if all the stuff you wanted to show, if you just did them as a cutscene, you wouldn't have any game left if you were David Cage.
Right, right.
And that's why you don't do that. You know, but like, it's just like, he just strikes me as exceedingly dumb, like just a really unintelligent person. And then when you watch interviews with him, it's like, oh, this guy is just very dumb.
Yeah.
Like, this is not a smart human.
Yeah. And also, you know, he has affected the vocabulary and presentation of a visionary. And it is frustrating when he is treated as such.
Yeah.
You know, or extended the benefit of the doubt, like this might be the time, because like what he is doing by making these games and the platform that he is saying is like, this is the direction that games are going to go, because this is meaningful and this is what it ought to be. It's really frustrating. I forget where I saw this quote, but you know, he was talking about people who respond poorly to his games because they lack gameplay. I played this for 40 minutes today, Gary. I actually had a stopwatch out. I was doing stuff for 13 and a half of those minutes. Just wanted to give that to you.
That quote is about this specific game. It's on like the Wikipedia where he talks about how he talks about how like when people don't like his stuff, it's because we're trying to, some gamers like Twitch action, other people like casual games, we're looking for a third way that everyone can enjoy.
Right. But what he's saying is like, oh, people who criticize my games for not being for not being games or for not having play, et cetera, down the line, well, there will always be these games that are basically sports or whatever, you know, just these mindless action
activity
things.
Cucks.
Like, there will always be activity cucks out there. But it's like, you're making this incredibly arrogant value judgment that mechanics cannot exist alongside story, which is fundamentally just not you are espousing values that I think are terrible for video games.
Really, really harmful to the art form.
Yeah.
Also, take, you know, the games that you're comparing yourself to with that comparison, take them out of your fucking mouth, David Cage. Like, you know, other games that have on the scale that are more story than gameplay are just in, like, oftentimes just in such a better league.
Uh-huh.
And you are, like, somebody on the GameFAQs message board was like, I love this game. Like, what are some other games like this? I played the other Quantic Dream games. And someone's like, oh, like, you know, you got to play the Telltale Adventure games. Like, you have to play What Remains of Edith Finch, stuff like that. And like comparing, like, the Telltale Adventure game, which arguably is just choices and QuickTime events as well. Like, I'm not on the, like, those aren't games things. I would never say this isn't a game.
Right.
I think it's just a really bad game. just don't, like David Cage, you don't get to put yourself in this zone.
Yeah.
Like, you're not Gone Home. Like, you are not Fulbright. Don't pretend like you are. Like, you are not as good at this. You know, and you're just not making, you're not paying attention to the decisions that people are more successful in this are. You've decided you are a trailblazer and then that's the end of it. So anything you do must blaze a trail.
Yeah.
You know, like that your actions are defined by what you consider yourself, not I need to consider my actions because I'm maybe not the first person on the fucking moon when it comes to, you know, doing a story game that has QTEs.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's
what an asshole.
A real asshole. And like, you know, and what's part of what's frustrating is you look at something like Until Dawn and you say, oh, like that's the really good version of this. Something that knows it's B movie trash, something that leans into it in this really entertaining and endearing way.
There are plenty of ways that you could do this well.
Yeah.
You know, even like this, probably this basic story, or at least at the very least with like something, even with all the dumbass shit that Indigo Prophecy does, there is a version of that that could be done well. You know, like it would be, and it was the, you know, they had all those budget cuts and stuff and they cut all those chapters out of that. Like,
right.
Who knows what their version would have been. I don't have full faith in the developer to make that good, but like, it's not like it's inherently, these stories that he's telling are not new or good or original. They're not fatally flawed. He is just an exceedingly poor storyteller.
Yeah.
You know, like it's not the problem necessarily with the narratives. It's not a problem with the construct or like the balance of gameplay versus story. It's how inept he is at both of those things. And him getting these like continuous chances, like, and even it's like tons of people who I who like tons of people who should know better. Something I was like that came up on Twitter that someone in our Slack, Zach mentioned on Twitter, and that I agree with. I was thinking about in terms of games, was how like we can't have a failure in games. Like we don't allow for it. You know, something like Anthem can come out, and even now I'm reading like all kinds of stories where it's like I managed to have fun with Anthem, and that's the story is like this big tentpole thing that was supposed to be extremely good. I managed to have a little bit of fun with it, and that's an editorial. Like, why can't something just be mediocre and you let it go? And when Quantum Dream like decides to make, hey, we're gonna make Detroit Become Human. It's a game about robot apartheid, or you know, robot racism. That's mankind divided. It's a game about robot racism. We're using civil rights metaphors to do androids and AI. It's gonna be a Quantum Dream game. It's called Detroit Become Human. And why couldn't we, as people like games, all have just been like, oh, hard fucking pass. That sounds dumb as hell. Like maybe a couple people review it, but then let it go and not let it dominate like the discourse for so long, and have all of these like, you know, stories about like, oh, what went wrong? Like, what is the missed potential in this? Nothing. It's just garbage. Like it has to be okay for someone just to make a bad game. Like I haven't played Anthem, but like reading about it is all of these people who are struggling with the idea that maybe this is bad, but can't just say, hey, this is bad. You know, it can just be bad. We have to be able to have like failures and just have that be it.
It's
And then
like
move on. Like
I
it can be okay just to move on.
you whiffed it, buddy. Maybe
Yeah.
learn, come back next time if you can.
You know, like we're letting these things be too big to fail. Like everyone I know is critical of that as a concept when it comes to banks and stuff, but this is something where like we're all culpable in
No,
that
just
because
because it is invested with importance, almost commensurate with its budget.
yes. And but it's through our choice. It's not the government doing it. It's literally like fandoms and games journalists and stuff doing it. It's like every time the fact that there has been like every other day there's been something about Anthem on Kotaku is what is making this too big to fail. You know, and it's like just it can just be like a C plus game and let it go. It doesn't matter that BioWare made it. It doesn't matter that they don't want it to be that. Like, why are we giving them what they want in this, you know? Same thing with like Fallout 76 or whatever, right? Like that was just like it's like a super not good game, but it just dominated the like, oh, how could this be better? What can they do?
Was Fallout ever good?
Was Fallout ever good? Like all of these kind of think pieces around it that like what if it was just like a fucking C minus game and it came out? You know, why can't, you know, I don't know. Like these big tentpoles do not demand our respect inherently through their station. Like the same people who I see who are like exceedingly critical of the idea of, say, ceding an amount of respect to a billionaire just because they are a billionaire will go ahead and do this to game companies and give them this kind of respect and attention, regardless of the quality of the individual product. And it's bonkers. Like, and it, and tons of people who should know better do it. Like, just people who I think, I just feel like, oh, like I, you don't, this, why are you doing this? You know?
Like track records account for something. You can absolutely take an individual game and put it into the broader story of a studio. I think that that is just something you can do. But like when it hits and lands or doesn't land, as it were, like that can like it can it forget who made it, like
Yeah.
that shouldn't have anything to do
It exists
with
as a product, it exists on its own in a vacuum. You know, like it just kind of does. Like it can exist as both. It can exist in that context, and there's room to be like, hey, how does Fallout 76 fuck up in comparison to previous Fallouts? But it doesn't need to dominate the news cycle, this kind of like, oh man, like what if that was good? How can it be good? Like what are the ways to have fun? Like what are the ways to actually make this good? You know, all of this kind of what could have been stuff. And I don't understand it. Like as a medium, we don't allow for failures the same way that like movies or books or TV shows do.
I mean, it's
Like a movie bombs, it's like, well, that's a bomb. You know, every once in a while something will become infamous enough to get a little bit of like traction, but it's pretty rare comparatively.
Is it just because there's so much more of those than games, like specifically as an industry for games, there, no matter how much your primary area of play or concern is whatever is in your own particular garden, there is still an eye on these massive things. Like there is still always an eye toward bigger studio releases.
I think it's that, and it's just the yeah, I mean, it's that, like, it's the youth of the medium, and then it's also the fact that video games are in the process of grappling with money and production values and production costs and everything, and that is causing a billion problems. Mm-hmm. Like, that is why people are getting laid off after putting in 90 hours of crunch and stuff like that. And a game, you know, like Resident Evil 7 is considered like underperforming, even though it sold so many millions of copies and stuff. All that stuff is happening. Like, the industry is super fucked when it comes to money right now. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying that we have a culpability in that as like people who talk, like you and I specifically, as people who talk about games, but even people who just like play games and read articles about,
specifically
managed to have fun in the Anthem tutorial. This I gotta read.
Yeah. Or specifically anybody who like feels obligated to offer a take. I think that I think that we cannot have a failure in games almost in the same way that there cannot be a failure in politics. I feel, and just that may be a fraught comparison, because one is about shoot bans and the other is about human lives.
Real human lives,
opportunity and dignity and such. Right. But I notice that they are talked about often in very similar ways.
Yeah. It can't just be that somebody like fucked up or somebody is a shit.
Yeah.
You know, just let them be a shit. Mm-hmm. Like, it just kind of, and move on from it. It's not like, and this comes from both sides. Like, there's shades of that where, like, when people do, like, when people talk about Trump doing 12th dimensional chess for his weird, just inept, idiocies that he does. And when Nintendo fucks up, mm-hmm. like, people will use the same kind of, like, language about, like, oh, no, this was actually a cunning stratagem.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, maybe it just, like, what, like, they just, not everything has to be on purpose. Like, mm-hmm. Everything bad does not have to be on purpose. Like, people who are capable and who have made it make mistakes the same as everyone else. Like, so much of that is down to luck.
Yep.
Like, don't unhumanize these people or these companies or these games or any of this art, and put them beyond air.
Yeah.
You do them a disservice.
Mm-hmm. You do them a disservice by expecting less.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a bummer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So. What are the dumbest ass shit that happens in this stupid fucking game that I missed?
Okay, so I pulled up a walkthrough just so I can remember. Again, this is told out of order. There is an option to play it in chronological order. I fuck doing that because it'd be the most boring 10-hour movie.
Blah.
Yeah. So the party happens not too long after what you described. There is a chapter called Welcome to the CIA, which is just quick time of you going through basic training stuff.
Cool.
So just kind of like Johnny.
We all like the beginning of Silence of the Lambs.
Yep.
But now you get to play it.
Yep. So it's her going over obstacles and doing like doing fights and things, so that's getting you into using the action stuff. There's a chapter called Homeless, where our main character Jody, she has left the lab and she's on the run, so she falls in with a group of mystical homeless people, and they kick her out because they find out that she's that she's haunted. She's
mystical in a different way.
Yeah. Something like that. They are mundane mystical, they've got the wisdom of the downtrodden, like David Cage likes to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There's a scene where she, as a teenager, gets rebellious and goes out to a bar, nearly gets raped, so just kind of go.
Cool. Yeah. Some casual. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. there's a chapter called Navajo. Hey, Gary, what do you think a chapter called Navajo involves?
Not good.
I just want to hear nothing, what you think.
Like a sensitive and, progressive depiction of Native Americans.
she's hitchhiking across the country, and she's going through a reservation, and she starts she shacks up with a native family, and, you know, in talking with, you know, kind of learns that, hey, maybe part of what's going on with her is related to Native American myths of the spirit in the afterlife.
Oh, sure.
And also her presence there causes the spirits to rise and attack the the place in
spirits
a storm.
Are angry.
Yeah. Yes.
The spirits
are angry.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. And then almost immediately after that, there is the dinner where you have your character getting ready for a very awkward date with one of her coworkers. This is where they have the nude model that leaked of Ellen Page.
Yeah. I read about that.
And then two more. That there is one where she is sent on a mission to disable another condenser. Because they're studying her to weaponize the afterworld, or the afterlife, also known as the infra world.
Yeah, I noted about the infra world as well. Like, I read a little bit about the infra world. Yeah,
but the not Chinese are they are developing their own condenser, so we have to send our own psychic warrior to go over there and bring it down. And then, of course, the ending has Willem Dafoe betraying you, opening the black sun.
Which I kept seeing that too, and I was kind of like scanning it over.
Yeah. It's like literally just a big orb portal. Yep, a bad orb that takes you into the infra world. And of course, you are the person who can both open and close it. So yeah, it goes from like I'm reading cards to, well, what's the military want with her? Like, oh yeah, it's just going to be warfare. Yes, we are weaponizing the afterlife. Cool. Yep.
Militarizing, you know, our young mutants and psychics.
Yes.
Definitely a thing.
Yep. Real dumb. Real dumb. Navajo and homeless takes the cake though.
Yeah.
Because she's just wandering the
dinner.
Land.
Yep. Dinner. This chapter is called Hallway, in which we deal with Ellen Page walking down a hallway.
Yep.
And if you click on the closet, you can open it, look in it, and close it as many times as you want.
Yeah. If you turn off the light, somebody yells at you and turns it back on.
Yeah.
We need that to
One of the frustrating things about these games is that they never get GameFAQs gold because they do have their fans. Like,
yeah.
They do sell okay, and some people are just fucking blown away by this shit.
Mm-hmm.
And I kept running into that, even though, like, the fact that I read has a really damning review of it in the beginning of it, but it's all still just like, well, you read the fucking fact for that. It's like you wrote the fact for it, you know.
It's a long game.
Yeah. And I mean it's not good enough, but it's just like the foreword for Absolute Steve's game fact about this, where we live in a technologically interesting time. The creation of a truly dynamic interactive narrative opens up great possibilities in theory. You know, just this, you know, the history was, it's that kind of shit.
Yeah.
But it's not particularly good.
Yeah.
And then he's like, yeah, it's not a very good game. And then he proceeds to write everything that happens in it.
So. Yeah. And to tell you different ways things can go. I found a couple of things where it's like, you know, I've got somebody beyond an interactive B movie. Let's bring the discussion to a meta level. Many quote critics are not deserving of that title and destroy the industry. Oh. Yeah. Oh, okay. And part two is just like discussing how critics are really, you know, the so-called critics and journalists a cancer. Truly critical voices ought to be taken increasingly serious in such a situation, ought to be given priority, ought to be given a large platform, a larger weight and score aggregates. Right now, to the true critics and critical gamers, all that's left to say is welcome to the desert of the real, where your voice will not be heard. Yep, so we got our good friend Absolute Steve.
Yeah, welcome to the desert of the real.
This is not video game criticism. This quote critic is a copying, pasting marketing tool beyond the point it's even humorous. Yet the score influences Metacritic and game rankings. Scandalous would be the fitting term. Harsher words, unfortunately, elude me at this time. Cool, it's good that you can't just like set that down and come back to it later.
like a text document.
Yeah, you know, do a second draft.
Dark Souls okay. Text document. Like, you can't pause it. You have to keep going.
Oh, but then you got people who are, just kind of creeping on Ellen Page, which David Cage did. Like, before he had the concept for the game, he just had pictures of Ellen Page from when she was a kid, like just like yeah. like plotting, saying I must have this perfect specimen in my movie film.
Yeah, it is. It's just gross.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, I don't. And like, I don't know. Ellen Page is pretty badass. You know, I think about why she did this as a thing, like reading her quotes about this, like there's that famous picture of her and Willem Dafoe being very unhappy to be talking about it.
Right.
But also reading about it online, she was like, yeah, like, you know, the average script for a movie is about 96 pages. This was 20,000 pages or whatever.
2,000
pages. Yeah. And it's like, man, why? And then you had to do all the green screen shit and mocap stuff and everything. Like, I hope you got paid, girl. Like,
yeah,
because it's hard for me to imagine this pays that much better than like a fucking movie,
right?
You know, and like you're sharing top billing with another actor of similar stature. Like, I just really hope you got paid in a big bad way.
Yeah, I mean, this took like their involvement was for a year, you know, and obviously they were probably, you know, they were going in and out, but like. That like they're in every scene, she's in every scene, he's in most of them, you know. Yeah. Most movies don't take a year to make.
Yeah
Blah. Yep.
No. Yeah, dumb horseshit.
It's really bad.
In the you know, we're probably about up on time.
Just about yeah.
I said earlier that I had a couple jokes I was saving for the session. Okay. I can't think of a way to integrate this one. But the other day I had pancakes and I was looking over and I have my container of maple syrup.
Okay.
Here, and I left it on my, you know, on my desk on accident.
Okay.
I was eating my breakfast. And my joke is, I'm just going to use some of this maple syrup to de-diet my Coke or undiet my Coke. And the idea of using a little, throwing a little maple in there to undiet your Coke, I think is funny.
That is very good.
So that's what I got. Second one is for next time. And this is spilling the tea on the future, but like that pitch game and Jackbox.
Yeah,
I think a very funny problem for that is won't stop Googling strong baby. And like either a person or Google, like your browser, like if your homepage was the Google image result for strong baby, I think that's very funny too. So those are the two things I got. So no, I mean, the next has to be a dour march now that all my humor is gone and I'm not angry about David Cage anymore, because I'm not angry at the next game.
Right. Yeah. Speaking of undieting your Coke, can I make a product recommendation for you?
Yeah.
So yeah. If you see it and you can just get a can or a bottle of it, Diet Coke with ginger and lime.
Oh
yeah.
They make a canned version of that.
Yes, they make a canned version. Diet Coke. Okay. Ginger lime Diet Coke. It is good.
I can see that being pretty good.
Yeah.
I will take a look at the old grocery store shelves. I buy when I do have Diet Coke around, which is pretty rare, I buy it from the vending machine in my building, or I buy it from the plaid pantry.
Okay.
So if it didn't belong to Everything to Guppy, I have a pretty good plaid pantry story. And I think this show gets greater listenership, so I can use that during the next episode as well.
Okay, yeah.
So it's not the same guy, but there's a new guy and there's a new development. So, and it's pretty good.
Yep.
So everyone look forward to that in the next episode.
Preview.
Thank you, Smith.
Yeah.
For sponsoring this episode. We appreciate it. Sorry if it was just, if you were not expecting us just to call David Cage a fucking moron. I apologize if that's not what you were looking for. If you like the show, please support us on Patreon. If you go to patreon.com/duckfeedtv, at the $5 a month level, you get bonus episodes of the show, and it only gets better from there.
Yeah, it is. Just good going back and looking at it. I think that there are like 1,000 posts on that right now. Like, there's a bunch of stuff.
Yeah. It's tons of good stuff. It's a good time to be a patron. We're actually putting out more new shows kind of pretty consistently. You know, including for people who do $5, we reached the goal for Unfilmable.
Yeah.
Our Lovecraft video adaptation thing. We're gearing up for that. We're not anticipating the generosity of our patrons, so we don't, you know, ideally we would have had some bank so we could release it immediately.
Yeah.
We don't have that, but we are gonna start putting those out, and that's also gonna be at the $5 level.
Yeah.
So we kinda hemmed and hawed which level to put that at, but we wanna put that somewhere where people, you know, the most people can get it, because I think it'll be good.
Yeah. Looking forward to it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think that's everything. Thank you so much, everybody, for listening.
Yeah. And, until next time, stuff it in your pono.